Hello and welcome to the Zach Think Share podcast. Today we're going to be talking about fair play and MSC or minimum standard of care. Today I would love to say that it is brought to you by Fair Play, but this is not sponsored. I am a Fair Play facilitator and I significantly use Fair Play as a tool, as a framework, and something that I consistently use in the coaching that I offer straight directly to men, as well as a offer that Alyssa and I are going to be doing in the near future that pretty excited about. We're still working on building and figuring out what we're gonna do for that. But I wanna talk about a really hot topic that keeps coming up consistently within the groups that I run with men, which is MSC, minimum standard of care. For many people, they kind of already get the idea intuitively just based off the definition. But the minimum standard of care is the thing that most of between partners that are living together or roommates or even, you know, colleagues, minimum standard of care is the framework that you set up, the standard that you set for any given task or responsibility. So in a domestic setting, that might be like, and I think I use the example all the time of how we go about dishes in our home. So in our house, when we're putting, you know, the kitchen to sleep after our toddlers are gone down, a huge thing that we consistently come back to is what is our minimum standard of care? What is the expectation for a kitchen that has been, you know, put to sleep? So it's coming up with a handful of sort of check boxes and like a general intent underneath it all. So for us, what that looks like is having a empty sink. That means having the little food that gets caught in the net, tossed out in the trash, or for many other people, maybe running the garbage disposal for a second. It's putting all of the dishes into the dishwasher, running the dishwasher, having any big pots or pans cleaned up, put away. And if it's the cast iron pan, that it is managed in such a way that there's no water residue left in there so that it's not rusting the pan. And furthermore, we've also included sometimes, so this is the part where I still recognize that I'm not fully executing on this all the time. And I think Alyssa gives me a good amount of leeway because I feel like on a lot of days, I'm not meeting the minimum standard of care. I'm probably hitting 80 to 95% of it. I would say once a week, I'm probably hitting 100%. As I'm saying this, I'm recognizing this is a great opportunity to recognize, you know, if you know that you're doing a standard, not 100% all the time, is your partner okay with that? Is if you guys agreed on that together, is that something that needs to keep getting brought up? I think this could easily be a place where resentment starts to build. I think a lot of us, you know, Alyssa and I think give each other a lot of leeway in a lot of things, and the frequency or like the full standard of how things are done. There are a lot of things we haven't, you know, established a very clear minimum standard of care. And one of the things that we've tried to do at the kitchen is having one. And I think usually we bring up minimum standards of care once we start seeing that one of us is slacking a little bit or we're getting annoyed with each other about how we're doing things. So oftentimes it gets brought up if it's a consistent upset or it's something that, you know, we get upset about once or twice in the same couple weeks or months. For example, we have a minimum standard of care around Fridays. So Fridays, either my parents or her parents come over to support our 2.5-year-old who does not have daycare on Fridays. And for a while, I was running the morning, and what kept happening was I would schedule meetings in that time, but I would plan to do it. I would plan to double multitask. So I would say, yeah, like I planned this meeting for Friday morning, but I'm planning on being with our toddler the whole time while I'm talking to this person. And so my expectation was that Alyssa was going to be working on stuff, but oftentimes whenever company was coming over, she would want to be cleaning, and we didn't have a great standard for that. And so we kept getting upset with each other because I would get annoyed when she would come out and I would be in a meeting. She'd be like, why didn't you tell me about this meeting? I was like, because I planned to be doing it while our, our child was here. I planned to be multitasking it and not giving it 100% of my attention. And I would get annoyed at her because she would keep coming out when I expected her to be fully working. So twice now, I think in the past couple months, you know, the expectations around Fridays and Friday mornings have come up. And so our current minimum standard of care around Friday mornings is one, Zach works great when he wakes up really early. Yes, I just went to third person, not completely sure why. But Thursday night, Alyssa has a good idea about how busy her work is in the morning. And we typically trade off. Whoever is like on duty with our toddler in the morning is not on duty from like 5 to, you know, 6:30-ish in the afternoon. So what we realized is we kept letting me go late and keep working till 6, 6:30 on Friday. And we realized that maybe that didn't work as well, and it'd be better for Zach to work early and him be done by 3 or 4 o'clock for when one of our parents was getting ready to leave. So we recognized that that was a big change we wanted to have. Also, the fact that I want to be spending more hours working on writing my book. And I really know that for me to get book work done, I need to be kind of in a state of flow, probably need 2 or 3 hours in a row. So if I can be waking up at 5 a.m. and then grinding for, you know, a good amount of hours, that's going to be really helpful and conducive for me to be productive there. And similarly, like a lot of times it's either Friday mornings, Alyssa is crunch time for her work, or it's Friday afternoons. So I think for both of us, like if I communicate, our current standard is Thursday night for me to say, hey, Alyssa, what's your plate looking like for tomorrow morning? If it's not heavy, then I get to be productive Friday morning. If it is heavy, then I take over on child support for Friday morning, and we reverse. So we are always ready for the audible, always ready for changing, you know, right before. But the plan is to check in Thursday night about what the situation is and how we want to run Friday morning and day. That is a good example of how, you know, we took this idea, we recognized we needed to talk about it. It was a reoccurring source of anxiety and resentment and upset. And so pausing, saying, hey, we don't want to be upset with each other. Okay, great, we're on the same page about that. How do we want Friday mornings to look? Well, I would like to have, and then she would say, well, I would like to have, okay, how do we meet in the middle? And I think when we're having that conversation in our weekly boring meeting, yes, we call it a boring meeting, we recognize that there's so much more that gets accomplished in those conversations because we're not both emotionally triggered going into the conversation, and we're really working on hashing out a plan. That actually might have been recorded in one of my other podcasts where it's like a peek behind the curtain for it. So minimum standard care. The really valuable thing I think about it is you're having really clear expectations. And what's also good about it, I think all the time, you know, I talk to new clients or having a first call with someone that is looking at my programs. And one of the things that I'm often asking them is, how often is, you know, I'm usually talking to cishet guys. How often is your partner coming to you being upset that you did not complete something, probably to the standard that you know you could have done it and they know you could have done it, and I think both of you probably expected you to do it. And they feel like they need to add this extra layer of emotion for really get it through your head. What do I gotta say? How do I gotta say it to get it through their thick skull, right? However, the problem with that is 3 weeks later, they've been doing great. They've been operating out of fear, out of, you know, being yelled at or having their be upset. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, once the fear is worn off and there haven't been any new upsets, they start to regress. And I know that was 100% myself. And so I think the magic behind these, you know, these boring meetings, one is they're more efficient. I would much rather be talking about these things when we're not yelling at each other, or I'm not going to defensive mode and Alyssa's not super triggered. So either way, the time's going to happen. The question is, do you want it to be in an emotionally safe space or an emotionally unsafe space where you guys are going to disconnect? And that extra layer of emotion doesn't need to happen if you're having iterative conversations. So if every week, let's say, for example, those Friday mornings, right? They're building up. We kept, I think maybe in 1 month, we probably had two or three upsets about it, small or large. And because we kept bringing it up and saying, hey, you know, this Friday, it didn't work out that great. Like, how can we adjust that minimum standard of care? How can we reattempt, you know, creating a standard that works for both of us? Or, you know, did someone break, you know, the agreement that we had? That has been really helpful in that she doesn't feel like she needs to add extra emotion to things. I don't feel attacked when we're talking about it. I'm able to just look at, oh yeah, that was a failure in performance on my part. I did not stick by the standard. Or I'm recognizing that we did stick by the standard and it still didn't work. So I think iterative change is a great place to be, and I highly recommend it. And that is why I preach boring meetings. I preach, you know, having these conversations ahead of time when cognition is high and emotions are low. That's how you go about building a good minimum standard of care. Let me know in the comments here if I had to give an example of a minimum standard of care or how I would facilitate a conversation. What would be those top chores or like household responsibilities you would really appreciate hearing us talk about? Sometimes I every once in a while I do actually often now I've been recording our boring meetings. Sometimes I don't post them all just because there's sensitive content in there. But sometimes I do post them, you know, because they are boring, but like they talk about this kind of granularity that I think not everyone's having these conversations. Hope you enjoyed this again. The book that we're talking about is Fair Play. I can leave the book recommendations link if you'd like to use it for my affiliate. I get, I don't know, 30 cents or something per copy, but more importantly, I have statistics on how many books I've helped influence the sale of. Thank you for coming. I hope I can continue bringing you good content. Thanks.